The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this. What day is this? Is this the 8th day?
The 7th.
It's the 7th?
Yes.
You see that? I'm just testing. You know who that is. Who did the first squeak? Okay, that is Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
You see that? One day a week, I let her out. And she's right in here. And right next to her is none other than her partner in crime, the one and the only, the Dandy Randy. Yay.
Be blessed. No stress, everybody.
And sitting by him, keeping a close eye on them, too. And always wondering... Well, just wondering why, but anyhow, it's none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And then way out yonder, I think, where is our brother Gut Glidden? Dr. Glidden, isn't he in Illinois? We have...
Yes, sir.
All right, there you go. So we got the full house here tonight. So are you ready to go, Peter?
I was born ready, Pastor. Let's rock and roll.
All righty. We'll get it done.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Uh-huh. Now you got Randy. But, you know, he's got rhythm. And he's up.
I just got the blues.
Yeah. Okay, so the title of the message was Reestablishing Liberty Through the Land. Reestablishing Liberty Through the Land. And we left off tonight in Jeremiah chapter 34. And we're going to be reading verses 8 through 22. But let me give you a little bit of an overview of what was happening here. King Zedekiah was not paying real close attention to what God was saying because he was listening to his princes, which were basically legislators. They were legislators. And so Jeremiah came and told him, listen, you better get with it here. God is telling you. He needs repentance, and he's going to bring Nebuchadnezzar, the king, and his army of Babylon. He's going to bring them right here. And so the princess says, no way, Jeremiah. God wouldn't say that. God would never say that, Jeremiah. God, there's no way that a foreign army is going to march through our gates. And Jeremiah, now, when God, you know, God hears these things, right?
Absolutely.
And,
yes.
And so God, he said here, the word came into Jeremiah from the Lord when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army and all his kingdoms of the earth, of the dominion, and all the people fought against Jerusalem and against the cities thereof. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. So here, what happens is Zedekiah, he sees the army on the march. And so he goes, and that's when you pick it up. Randy, start with verse 8 and read it through 20.
Oh, sure. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord after after the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his manservant and every man his maidservant, being an Hebrew or an Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve him of them, and that this is of a Jew his brother. Now, when all the princes and all the people were, which had entered into the covenant, heard this, everyone should let his manservant and everyone should let his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of the many more, that they obeyed and let them go. But afterwards they turned and caused the servants, the manservants, and the handmaids, which they had let go free, to return and return them into the subjection for servants and for handmaids. Therefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondmen, saying, at the end of 7 years, let go every man his brother in Hebrew, which shall have been sold unto thee, in which he hath served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear. And you were now turned and had done right in my sight in proclaiming liberty every man to his neighbor, and ye had made a covenant before me in the house which I called in my name. But ye turned and polluted my name and caused every man his servant and every man his handmaiden whom ye had set at liberty at their pleasure to return, and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servant and for handmaids. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming the liberty, every one to his brother and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord, for to the sword, to the pestilence, to the famine, I will make you be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. I will give the men that I have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in two and passed between the parts thereof, the prince of Judah, the prince of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, the people of the land which passed between the parts of the calf. I will even give them into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of them that seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be for meat for the fowls of the heaven and to the beasts of the earth.
All right, so here, you notice something. You hardly ever see people in church and during the church service. People pretty much behave themselves in church, don't they? Okay.
Usually.
Yes.
But, you know, a lot of those same people, when they leave church, don't quite act the same way. Sometimes when they get home, maybe, right? And, well, tell us, Randy, do you? No, only kidding. Now, listen. So here, what is happening now, he made this covenant with the people, with God. Zedekiah knew he was in trouble, big trouble, and he had to do something right now. So he finally decided, I'm going to do something. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to please the God. He's going to like this, showing mercy to the servants. And so they brought the people in. They all came into the temple, and they made this big proclamation there of the king. And they all agreed, we're going to do it. And everybody there set their servants free. Go, you're free. And it was a big deal. But then when they left there, they looked around, and they didn't see God watching them, right? Was God watching them?
Yes.
Absolutely.
He's watching them, right? And so here, sometimes people think because they can't see God, God can't see them, okay? And so here, as soon as they were what they thought out of sight, they went and they captured their servants again, and they brought them back. And here, there was a custom when you made a covenant with God, when you made a covenant, that they would cut a calf in two,
right?
And they would walk. Each man would walk between the two pieces and make his covenant with the Lord. And that's what they did. But they broke the covenant.
But isn't this kind of kind of like what Pharaoh did to them?
Yeah, well.
Well, he let them go, and he went and got them back.
Well, it was, but you see here, God was doing that, you see.
Yeah.
God hardened Pharaoh's heart because he was going to teach the people, Pharaoh and the people, a lesson there, okay? And it was a hard, hard lesson for Pharaoh to learn because Pharaoh thought he was a god. Mm-hmm. See, but when it was over, what Pharaoh knew he wasn't God, huh?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
And so here, Ethabel the third, if you read over there in Ezekiel 28, Ethabel the third, he too thought he was God. In fact, he proclaimed himself to be God, okay? And he was Jezebel's nephew. And he should have known better, huh? But
yes.
Anyhow, and so what happened was with him, God says, so he chided him, and this was a contemporary time here because he was saying to Ethabel, you, wow, boy, you sure... You're sure a wise guy, aren't you? Well, you must be smarter than Jeremiah himself, right? And oh no, Daniel. He said you're even wiser than Daniel, right?
That's right.
And so old Ethabel said, "Yeah, that's me. I'm wiser than Daniel." And so here he says, "Well, I want to tell you what. I'm going to send some men, the Babylonian Nebuchadnezzar's boys. I'm going to send them there." And they're going to kill you. Now, just before they kill you, you tell them that you're a god and see if they believe it.
They believe that, yeah.
He said, because I sure don't buy it, right? So that's what happened. Mm-hmm. They didn't believe him. And so here now, God, he doesn't look kindly upon those that break the covenant with him. And so they paid a tremendous price for doing that. Now, let me ask you this. When you have people like today, do you remember that thing called 9/11?
I do.
Yes.
And do you remember watching the buildings come down, the dust storm?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But there was even a greater dust storm went all across the nations. And what that was people were pulling their Bibles down off the shelf. They've been sitting there collecting dust. And when they saw that, they thought, certainly America's going to war. So now we'll call upon God, now that we need some help, you know, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But God says that all nations that forget their God will be turned into hell, huh?
Right.
And America's being turned into hell, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting worse by the
faster
day.
Faster and faster.
By the day. And yeah. So here, when we take a look at what Zedekiah did. Now, when Zedekiah did that, when he first did that, when he proclaimed the freedom, then Nebuchadnezzar's army stopped. They were stopped in their tracks. And they didn't go any farther. In fact, they started to turn back. And then when they broke the covenant, when they went and they went out and captured their servants again, the armies came forward. And so, is God a merciful God?
Yes,
yes,
he is.
He sure is. But and so here, so I'm going to ask you two. How does that, when we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, we always say one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. How many of the young people anymore even believe that?
They don't even say it. They don't say it anymore.
Right.
Not too many believe in God, is there anymore?
That's right.
No.
And so here, the United States has kind of done the same thing that Israel did, huh?
Yes.
They turned their back on God after the emergency was over, what they thought. They went back to the same way. But there's only a remnant of us. Did God always keep a remnant?
He
yes.
always does. Yes, he does.
And what happened with those when they went into, when Nebuchadnezzar took them in, and they went into the captivity, God left the remnant there in the land, though, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Well, we have a remnant in America today. It's a remnant. It's a real remnant. And that remnant is ready for war, aren't we?
Yes.
And so Anyhow, I want to go over now to Peter. You just jump in with your commentary.
History doesn't repeat itself, Pastor. It rhymes, right?
Absolutely. Let's go over now to the attitude of many in America today. You've got people like Klaus Schwab. You've got his minions. You've got people like Oprah. Of course, the Biden crime cartel, they don't say it with words, but they do it in their actions. But if we go to Isaiah chapter 5 and we pick it up in verse 18, we read this. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. So God is, when God pronounces a woe, because he pronounces several woes here, pronounces three in a row, and when you get a woe from God, you're in trouble, aren't you?
You're in big trouble.
Especially if you get three of them right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So here he's saying, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. So he's saying, woe unto them that flaunt their sin in front of God. Woe unto them. Would you say that LGBTQ flaunts their sin in front of God?
Yes.
Would you say that all those screaming heathen, the screaming heathen that are out in the streets protesting the overturn of Roe v. Wade, do you think that they are flaunting their sin in front of God?
Yes,
they are.
Some of those very, very wicked, I mean, wicked, unclean women were out there in their underwear in front of the Supreme Court, running around in their underwear, flaunting their sin. These are demented women, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes.
The definition is depravity. And so here, they were flaunting their sins in front of God. What about on a different scale? What about these people that, well, those that promote sodomy, those that promote pedophilia, bestiality, porn, child porn, the depopulation people, Bill Gates and that crowd, those that Fauci and the forced kill shots that are forcing the kill shots, especially on the children, those that the typical in the media, Democratic whoredoms, lying, killing, stealing, false witness. Would those people be flaunting their sin in front of God?
Yes.
Okay. He goes on to say, they say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. In other words, they're saying, let us flaunt our sin in front of God and see what God will do about it. Now, what do you think? How does a holy God deal with sin?
He has to punish it.
Well, sure. He doesn't reward, let's say, good consequences, because God has a way of pulling everything down, grinding everything that's working to a halt. And he doesn't deal with every sin the same way, but it's always in a negative way.
Well, you know, it's like what happened when he says, touch not my anointed. Now, if we go back to what we just read there with Zedekiah, what happened when Jeremiah came and he prophesied that what was going to happen, that Nebuchadnezzar, the princes, the legislators, took him and threw him in a well down there, where, you know, one of those dry wells where there's nothing but mud.
Right.
Yes.
So he was up to mud up to his neck, right?
Yes.
And then somebody reminded Zedekiah, that's a prophet of God they did that to. So he immediately sent 30 men to go get him out of there right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But God had told Zedekiah, you're in trouble big time. You're not going to die in battle. No, what happened, he said, you're going to see Nebuchadnezzar face to face, and you're going to speak to him face to face. And then he killed all of Zedekiah's sons in front of him.
And then he put
his eyes out. And so here now, you've got these people flaunting their sin in front of God. And he goes on to say, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. No, woe unto them to call evil good and good evil. To call evil good and good evil. Put darkness for light, light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Now, we say that when they call the heathen, they're calling abortion good. They're calling it a woman's right. They're lying through the teeth. God never gave them the right to kill their baby, did he?
No.
So these are murderers. They're murderers. They're condemned, right?
Right.
That's right.
And so, you know, the other side's been saying, they've been yelling out, if Roe v. Wade gets overturned, women are going to die. Let me tell you something. First of all, that's a lie, because they're a lot less likely not to die than they are by getting an abortion. But here's what God says. God says those women that kill their babies deserve to die. That's right. For you prissy preachers out there, I've just... you got your pink bloomers in a bunch right now. But that's what God says. God says that those wicked women that kill their babies and those bloody butchers, those bloody abortionists, they deserve to die. And I especially think there's a special hot place in hell for those bloody animals, those bloody abortionists.
Yeah.
And so God says they deserve to. If God says you deserve to die, do you deserve to die?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And you are going to die, too.
Yes.
So are those screaming banshees, are they going to learn that in spades?
Yes, they are.
Okay. And so here now, he goes on to say, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength, and mingle strong drink. What about these people that, let's go to two places. What about these prosecutors that say they're not going to force the law that the Supreme Court here in Ohio, now the heartbeat law is in, and here we got some corrupt, I mean dirty cops, some very corrupt right here in Cleveland, but across the street, and these are illegitimate. What is they're referred to as what in Hosea 4? Whores.
Whores.
Okay?
Yes.
Right.
And so they said we're not going to enforce the law. So now, if they're telling you that they are not going to enforce the laws, then how? What does that say about their office? Is their office legitimate, or does it lose all legitimacy?
Well, it's illegitimate.
It's illegitimate, yes.
All of them have taken pledges to uphold the law. All of them have.
So then, do the people need to recognize that they have any authority or any legitimacy at all?
No.
They have no legitimacy at all.
So, and just like across the country, they're paid George Soros whores. They have no legitimacy. And so the people have no obligation to recognize them as having any legitimacy at all, right?
Right.
That's right.
So what about, because we're going to come back to visit this piece, but what about those out there that are killing people with their vaccines, that are killing people with their drugs, that are, you know, when you watch the news, and I'm talking about not just NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, but Fox too, all you hear is brought to you by who?
Any of the Johnson & Johnson and all of those, the drug people.
Yes. Yeah.
The drug people.
Yeah, big pharma.
Most of it, okay, is brought to you by one big company, Pfizer.
Pfizer, yeah.
Brought to you by Pfizer. Brought to you by Pfizer. You see that just about every few minutes, every commercial, brought to you by Pfizer. And if they don't say it, then they put it up on the screen, right? And so let me ask you a question. How many times more people die every year? How many times more people die every year from prescription drugs than die from all the train, plane, car, gun, knife, motorcycle, bus, accidents combined?
About a million a year since 2000. There have been 17,665,093 people died from medical treatments. 22,533,000 have died from chemotherapy. Conventional medicine in the United States of America is the leading cause of death.
Here we go. Which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteousness from them. Therefore, listen to this, Peter, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them. And the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the street. For all of this, his anger is not turned away, and his hand is stretched out still. So what do you think that means when it says his hand is stretched out still?
Well, the reckoning is about to come.
Well, it means, no, the reckoning is continuing to come. It's continuing.
Yes.
There has been no true repentance, and so the punishment is continuous. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992, when they murdered Vicky Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed the church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege.
Well, boy, I'm going to tell you, you know heaven's under siege, because look at the corruption. I mean, far beyond anything we've ever seen. And in fact, it says that Senator Ron Johnson, where did I have that, suggests evidence shows Biden crime family may be involved in global sex scandal. The Biden crime family right now is the greatest crime family in the history of the United States that got more charges against them right now than any. But let's go back and Dr. Peter Glidden, I've got an article here that says, England, excessive deaths on the rise, but not due to COVID, not because of the COVID. Now, here this rise, guess what the rise is due to? It's the rise of the successive rise is due to blood clots. All of a sudden, all of these people are getting blood clots. Where's that coming from, Peter?
The poisonous poke. It's a known side effect of it, as is myocardial infections, myocarditis, a hemorrhage to the brain, thrombotic strokes to the brain. These are all known side effects of the poisonous poke. We've been talking about it, myself and my colleagues, for over 2 years now. And because we don't have a free medical market, because the media is in the hands of the pharmaceutical industry, they're never going to report the truth. And meanwhile, people die. But before people die, they suffer, and then they go bankrupt, and then they die because, let's not overlook the fact that the leading cause of death in the United States is medical bills. And how can that possibly happen? Well, what's the most expensive type of medicine? It's the one that doesn't heal you. It's the one that doesn't work. And this is perhaps the most important message that I have for the world. And, let those with ears to hear, because I've been saying this for 15 years now, and not very many people have the ontological maturity to be able to understand this, but it's true. The simple fact of the matter is that conventional medicine, allopathic medicine, the medicine practiced by your medical doctor, the medicine that's in the majority today, the medicine that has been in control of the medical marketplace since 1912 in the United States, doesn't work. The only thing it's good for is medical, military field surgery, surgery when it's necessary, emergency medicine, trauma care. But you have to be careful because, according to the New York Times, over 50% of the emergency room doctors are addicted to street drugs, alcohol, or prescription medicine. So even when your condition suits conventional medicine, you have to be careful about the doctor that you go to because there's a high probability that they're going to be gorked out on drugs. The simple fact of the matter is that while we've been under the care, tutelage of conventional medical doctors, our health is getting worse. Heart rates remain unchanged. Alzheimer's is skyrocketing. The Alzheimer's numbers are scary. They're unbelievable. About 6 million people now in the United States of America have Alzheimer's. The projections are that by 2050, it will be 14 million people have Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's rose from obscurity in the 1980s to become the sixth leading cause of death in the United States. But, don't worry, it gets worse. Autism, also. The prevalence of autism has increased 178% since the year 2000. While we have been under the tutelage and the care of conventional medical doctors, people are suffering and dying. It's bad. Osteoarthritis is getting worse. Type 2 diabetes is getting worse. More than a third of adults and children are not just overweight, but they're obese. And we're getting sicker. Our life expectancy is getting shorter. We're being bankrupted by the pharmaceutical industry. And it's not because we have a bad gene, and it's not because of chemtrails, and chemtrails are a real thing. It's because the type of medicine that people have access to is not concerned with making you healthy. Your medical doctor may be the nicest person that God ever created, but your medical doctor doesn't practice medicine. Your medical doctor practices allopathic medicine. And allopathic medicine uses pharmaceuticals and surgery to manage your illness. So your arthritis is never cured. Your depression is never cured. Your influenza is never cured. Your blood pressure is never cured. All of these conditions are managed with pharmaceuticals and surgery that make you more addicted, more dependent upon the drugs as you get older, and then you need a second or a third or a fourth drug. You get weaker and weaker and weaker in the last 10 years of your life, the revolving door, to the emergency room, to the doctor's office, and meanwhile, you spend a small fortune in medical insurance premiums, giving your money to the people under whose tutelage and care you got sick in the first place. And then when you did get sick, they didn't have treatments that were attempting to cure you. And this is what passes for the best medicine in the world. And it's the biggest lie ever perpetrated on the American public. It's the biggest lie that's ever been perpetrated on the American public. I mean, thank God for insulin, I guess. Thank God for lidocaine and, you know, general anesthesia and the sterile technique. But for most of the conditions that most people go to the doctor for, conventional medicine is bad. And I believe it's propped up by the pharmaceutical industry, which is inherently evil. And I'm choosing my words carefully. It's evil. It's an evil industry, the intention of which is to make you sicker and more dependent on pharmaceuticals the older that you get, and beholden to your medical doctor to such a remarkable extent that even when your conventional medical doctor fails you, even when your loved ones die under their care, even when you go bankrupt under their care, instead of criticizing them, you organize a 5K run and raise $20,000 and give it to the medical profession under whose tutelage and care you got sick and died, your loved ones got sick and died in the first place. And this is how deep the socialization is. Honest to God, ladies and gentlemen, I know it may sound extreme, but it's not. From my position as a licensed naturopathic physician, helping real people recover their health from real disease for the last 33 years, my message is extreme, but it's simple. The single most important thing you can do to make yourself healthy and to secure a healthy future is to fire your medical doctor. You need to stop using them. You need to stop trusting them. You need to stop listening to them, and you need to find alternatives which are science-based and clinically verified, which there are thousands of, by the way. They're just not in the mainstream. You have to hunt for them. You have to educate yourself, but it's not hard. I mean, if you're smart enough to pass the driver's license test, you're smart enough to figure out, to learn from people like myself and my colleagues, what to do to attempt to make your body healthy. This is my message. I know it sounds extreme, but I don't care because I've had it. I'm at the end of my rope. You wouldn't believe the things that I've seen people recover from, and you wouldn't believe the things that I've seen people suffer from needlessly. Fire your medical doctor now and seek out aggressively alternatives which are science-based and clinically verified, the intention of which are to make your bodies healthy.
Oh, boy, you know what's going to happen? The AMA is going to hire a hit on you. They're going to send Fauci over there with a poisonous poke, okay? And there you go. Now, but look, I mean, we're told all the time, like, if you're stupid, won't those people in the media, I mean, won't they like you more if you're stupid? I mean, look, you're seeing all around you people getting sicker. I mean, we've been seeing it. I've been, for 50 years, we've been on the radio. I've had all kinds of naturopathic and medical doctors. But what I'm seeing, too, a lot more of what is called MDs, they're going to the naturopathic. In fact, I ran across a couple of them, even at the VA, where I had this woman who, she was a young woman, a very, very pretty young female doctor, and we would go back and forth, and of course she was totally indoctrinated by big pharma and this and that. And what did I know? I wasn't a doctor. I'm just a pastor there. But guess what? She got a new boss in here, a new medical doctor, and he started telling her all the things that I was telling her. Yeah.
And, well, you know, the tide is slowly turning. I mean, when I graduated from naturopathic medical school in 1991, there were 5 states that licensed and regulated naturopathic medicine. Now there are 25. So there has been movement, and more medical doctors, conventional medical doctors, are getting extremely frustrated with the pharmaceutical approach and are looking for alternatives. And this much is true.
Well, there's something more to it than that, too, Peter. What's happening is they're losing credibility amongst the people. Well, people are losing confidence, and they realize this when... Look, when I go see a medical doctor, we have interesting conversations, especially where it comes to COVID. The shot I had, three of them already asked me if I'd received the poisonous poke. And that turned into a very interesting conversation between us. And so they're losing credibility amongst their people. And just like recently, I had to go to doctors, and they had a big sign up, you have to wear the masks. And I said, no, I won't wear them because they do you more damage than good. And
I couldn't agree with you more. And from the private citizen's point of view, so a private citizen loses their faith in conventional medicine because of all of this nonsense. But then what are they going to do? So when they get migraine.
Okay, looks like he dropped right there on that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was an interesting thing because this young nurse who was taking in a year vitals, what they call, and I told her, I said, it's a shame to cover up such a pretty face with that mask. And she looked at me, and she took it right off. She said, you're right. And she wouldn't wear it anymore. And, folks, you got to stand your ground. And you really have to stand your ground. Peter, are you back?
Yeah, the NSA cut me off. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't doubt it. Okay. Yeah, people that have common sense are starting to say something's very wrong. When the AMA says that they're not sure if there's genders. They're not sure. They're not going to put male or female because they're not sure of the genders. Well, you know. You don't really have to go to medical school to know these things, do you?
But my point is that when people, rightly so, become underwhelmed and have lost all their confidence in the conventional medical approach, when they get sick, what are they going to do? Well, in a perfect world, what they would do is go to see me or go to see one of my colleagues. In a perfect world, that's what they would do. But we don't live in a perfect world. And my profession is only licensed and regulated in 25, not even 25 states in the United States. And in two states in the United States, it's illegal to practice naturopathic medicine.
What two states are those? People.
I believe it's two of the southern states. It might be Georgia and South Carolina, I think. Might also be Florida. I can't remember. But nonetheless, it is illegal to practice naturopathic medicine in two states in the United States. And my position here is it's that simple, Pastor, that we desperately need a free medical market, and we desperately need to have access to all types of medicine, my medicine and Ayurvedic medicine and acupuncture and botanical medicine and homeopathy and chiropractic and osteopathic, like my good friend Sherry Tenpenny. All of these methodologies, all of these modalities, we need to have equal access to them, and the public needs to be educated as to their strengths and weaknesses. Because my system of medicine is not the be-all, end-all, and if you have a broken leg and a bleeding artery, you don't want to come to see me. You want to go to the emergency room, for goodness sakes. There's a time and a place for everything, but because we haven't had a free medical market for over 100 years now, nobody knows about the science-based clinic-wide alternative. And so when people get sick, they're afraid, and they're going to just bend over and take it and go to the conventional medical doctor because that's the only thing their insurance pays for, and that's the only thing they know about. And, oh, yes, I'm frustrated, and I've lost my confidence in my medical doctor, but maybe this time it'll be different. And, see, this is the predicament that people find themselves in. And I agree with you that there is a change. There is a surge. There is something happening. But, I mean, honest to God, if people didn't get it with the whole chemotherapy thing, I mean, the chemotherapy rates are unbelievable. 22 million people have died from chemotherapy since the since the beginning of the century of the 21st century. 22 million people have died, not from cancer, but from chemotherapy. And the cancer treatment statistics are abysmal. Cancer, conventional cancer treatment fails most of the time. Most of the time it fails. And not only does it fail, but it ruins the last couple of years of your life from the side effects of all the nasty treatments that they do, which, as it turns out, are sometimes effective, but the vast majority of the times not effective and also extremely expensive. And if people have put up with that, and if that was not enough to make people lift the wool from their eyes, I honestly don't know what it's going to be. And this is what I was alluding to before when I said history doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes. Not everybody who had the chance to got on Noah's Ark. It's the same here. Not everybody who has the chance to is going to follow the naturopathic method. Not everybody who has the chance to is going to follow the homeopathic method. They're not, because they just can't bring themselves to believe that their medical doctor doesn't know what's best for them. And this is a gigantic problem.
But, yeah, you're right, it is a gigantic problem. But, again, like I'm seeing it now, maybe it's just me, but I'm seeing more and more people, you know, when people call me, they don't ask if I know a good MD. They ask if I know a good naturopath. And more and more of that is happening. And, again, like I was telling you, a number of these frontline doctors, medical doctors, MDs, they're going back to, in fact, recently, there are groups of them that are actually making house calls. They're making house calls again. And I remember when I was a kid, when we were growing up, the doctors did come to our house. You know, with eight kids in the family, doctors came to the house, and they recommended things like elderberry tea. They recommended things. Like sassafras tea, which was a horrible tasting stuff, but every spring, you know, and this is what the doctors were telling you back then, okay?
Yeah, or the pharmaceutical industry got their hooks into everything.
But when the allopaths run out of things, they invariably look for a good naturopathic doctor.
Well, that's interesting.
I had that happen in the past year in my own life with my ex-girlfriend, as a matter of fact. She is a physician, and her cousin got real sick from chemotherapy, and basically the doctor told her that was all they could do. And so, of course, now she's under the care of a naturopathic doctor.
Well, you know, if you look at the halls of allopathic medicine, the halls of allopathic medicine are littered with the discarded remains of therapeutics, which in their day were all the rage, but then which came to be known as nonsense, right? Like bloodletting and high doses of calomel and high doses of mercury. And they were all the rage back in the day. And if you didn't toe that line, you were a quack. And now we look back at them and say, oh, man, that was ridiculous. But the halls of naturopathic medicine are not. Naturopathic medicine, we never discard anything. We add. Why is that? Well, because our therapeutics are based on God's law and natural law. And when you understand and apply God's law and natural law, you're never wrong. But because we don't know everything, and because it's the practice of medicine, as time goes by, we figure out new things and we add, but we never subtract. And this is the biggest difference between what we do and what the medical doctors do. And, you know, it'll be a great day if someday before I die, you know, the naturopathic medicine is licensed in all 50 states.
Well, let me read to you. This is the Restored Republic. This is an update. This is in the military news. And, boy, wait to Austin finds out about this. They probably don't know. Or Mr. What's his name? Millie. But anyhow, here's what it says. COVID/monkeypox/vax hoax begins testing phase 1 clinical trial of universal flu vaccines. P- Peter McCullough this month, the World Council for Health, which represents 70 bodies worldwide, has called for a global recall of all jabs. Dr. Russell Baylock, hospitals were paid, here's what he says. He says that hospitals were paid to kill. $39,000 per patient on a ventilator, $12,000 per patient in the intensive care unit. If you've ever seen anybody in respiratory distress, they're in a severe panic. But these people were just calm, speaking in the complete sentences, and they just said, I'm short of breath. And so they would give them a drug, paralyze them, put them on a respirator, and a high percentage, in some cases, 80% of them died. And, of course, what you were just mentioning about in the future, what about remdesivir? Remdesivir has got a really good reputation, doesn't it? And it's not cheap. I mean, you have to cost you a lot to let them kill you with that, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, it's a point that's well taken, and, you know, I have to say it again, and I have to keep beating this horse, because history doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes. I mean, it's like the death camps of World War II and the experiments that they were doing on the inmates all over again. And listen, was it the naturopathic doctors that were doing that? Was it the homeopathic doctors? Was it the botanical medicine practitioners? Was it the Ayurvedic practitioners? Was it even the traditional Chinese medical doctors or the acupuncturists who were doing all of that? No. Who was it? It was the medical doctors. For goodness sake, snap out of it. Not every medical doctor in the world is a bad person, but the profession has a horrible history. And the only reason that we give them a pass is because they've been in the minority for the last 100 years. In our heart of hearts, we just don't want to bring ourselves to the notion that these people are part of an evil profession. We just can't do it.
Well, I think you're seeing more and more of them. Like, you feel a lot of these medical doctors, they're conscious. Their conscience is getting to them. It really is. But I just wanted to say this. Here's the real reason behind all this. I mean, you know it and I know it. You know it and I know it. And that is, it's the world depopulation. I reported on this back in the 80s, and we went through it. And what's happening, Big Pharma owns these hospitals, Big Pharma with the big money. And they basically, in a very subtle way, tell their people, push our drugs, you doctors. You'll keep your practice and look the other way so you don't see things. So just learn, try, and you can believe what we tell you. If you try hard enough, you can believe what we tell you, but fewer and fewer people, the patients aren't, and these MDs, medical doctors, like you said, some are very nice people, good people. They're losing credibility. They're at a rapid rate. Okay.
Well, it's about time, and you know, full speed ahead and damn the torpedoes. The sooner that house of cards falls down, the better the world's going to be.
Well, you know, and that's why you're here tonight with us. We're coming up to a break in a minute. When we come back from the break, tell the folks, tell them what the situation is with your books, too, because, you know, we've been trying to, well.
Oh, yeah, there was a breakdown.
We'll be back right after this.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.